TL Debate, presented by Brendan Devaney, in association with Sarah's Kitchen at Sister Sarah's Letterkenny, serving food you'll love. Book now to enjoy the Sarah's experience.
Welcome one and all to another packed edition of the DL Debate. We're up to 30 already, a special show in store. My guests include Guidor Talisman, now a member of the backroom team, Stephen Cassidy, plus the greatest hurler for me that ever played the game, DJ Kerry, will on the line. And rounded up all the hurling action from the weekend, Setanta's Paul Campbell will be joining us also. There also was a junior semi-final that we will get our teeth into. Plus, we have a roundup across Ulster, where it's getting down to that time of the season when championships are won and lost, and some even on penalties, which is a new thing to us all in the GAA. Some big results there in Antrim, Carrigan defeating Craigan 122-119. Cross, of course, last week lost in the Armagh final. Mahery beating them 4-9-17 points. Some cracking scorelines coming through there. Down Kilcoo, the Masters of the Down Championship, 8 titles out of 9 years they've just picked up yesterday, beating Corryduff by a score of 16-9. In Monaghan, Scotstown of Ballybay, it was to be a tight, tense affair. It was anything but. Scotstown run away with an easy victory and then 114 to Ballybay's 7 points. In Derry, we're down to semi-final stage. The semi-finalists are The Loop, Ballanderry, Mahara Felt and Sloughneil, and very much like Donegal, they are a big four, so cracking semi-finals in store there. In Cavan, Crossorlough defeated Castlerahan, last year's champions, and are going for their first title since 1972. What a story that would be, particularly because Kingscourt Stars upset the odds by beating Cavan Gaels in the other semi-final. And across to our neighbours in Tyrone, and I think looking at it, certainly from an Ulster perspective, it has been the best championship in Ulster. And yesterday, as they went down to penalties, Trillick and Dungannon won 12-112 and 8-7 penalties. Then the game went to, and what a Dungannon first title in 64 years, and I'm sure great celebrations up there. No one been able to retain the Tyrone Championship. Trillick were going to be the first team in 15 years, but once again they fell short. And I'm delighted to say I'm joined on the line by a man that knows a thing or two about winning championships, especially after a long barren spell. It took a bit of Cassidy magic to bring a championship back to Guidor. Welcome, Stephen Cassidy, to the show.
How are you, Brendan?
Stephen, 0-2 now, take me back and don't take me too much into it, but how long was it, the spell of no championship victories for Guidor when you broke that, when you won the title in 0-2?
41 years, Brendan. 41. It was 1961 was the last time Guidor won it.
Yeah. Some bad memories for myself in there. But anyway, listen, you were deserving champions. Stephen, I'm just thinking about Dungannon now. I know you know a bit about the setup there, the manager, is it? Just what's the buzz of that? I mean, when we won the championship in 97, it'd been 14 years. And it's impossible to recreate that after it, Stephen, if a few championships come. You know, there's real elation. It's something very new. What was the vibe like in Guidor at that time?
Brendan, it was unbelievable. I mean, we just kept every year thinking it's not going to happen. I think we partied for over 2 weeks, which is the norm in Guidor, I think. I think the boys have kind of settled now the past couple of years, and they've kind of got a wee bit more structured. But I know, it was unbelievable. Just to see a lot of the old players and most of your parish and family and friends, and just the joy. It was men crying about the fair that day, you know. It was crazy stuff. Really was, and memories for life, you know.
Yeah, just from being down in Guidor, there's such a deep GA feeling there. I'm just blown away by the amount of time it took for that to come back. You know, was it a case of, you know, I suppose the immigration thing, or just the right team at the right time coming together? There obviously was nearly teams, but just looking at Guidor now, that the setup is down there, it doesn't look like this Guidor team will ever be, from what I can see in the near future, not be challengers for the Dr. Maguire.
I think things are definitely changing a bit, Brendan. I know it was one of the biggest, I'd say, probably in Donegal, we were hit massively with immigration. You know, Guidor was a big connection with Glasgow, and a lot of people were heading off for work. And if you look back at 61, last time they won it, I mean, you know, I always bring this up, like, to totally dig in. We're still the most titles in Donegal. We're 15. When I seen Unions going out last week, I really was hoping they'd get to a final, because I felt for Unions the past couple of years. but we like to keep that wee one gap between us and Usbin. I think Usbin 14.
We like we have the disputed 97 in there. So all right. Listen, I'll let you get the dig in.
Or get the wee dig in. But you know what? You look back at them good old teams, Brendan. I think the door are maybe one of three teams that done three in a row. I think they're one of two teams that done four in a row way back in the '40s and fifties. I mean, just they were a force back then, and then it just stopped, decimated. You know, a lot of the families that were coming in from the islands and everything started immigrating away, and they lost all the footballs. But no, I don't think that'll happen for a long time. I'm looking at that up this year from being involved, and with a great young squad, a couple of old heads in there with Eamon and Neil and Kevin still playing away. And but if you look at our minors now sitting in a county final, our 14s are in a county final, and our under 16s are kind of starting with a good squad there. So it bodes well for the future, I think, you know.
Yeah, talking about Ditton Diggs and Stephen, you're certainly an interesting guy about keeping the banter going, let's say, around certain teams on Twitter and all that. You're certainly good value. Stephen, of course, the 06 final, listen, for me, again, tough one to go under, but scored one of the best goals I've ever seen, won a game. Stephen, it must make you very proud. That it was a very dour game. That was about the only highlight in it, but you turned in the ball, what? At this stage, you must have been 40 yards out. You turned in and stuck her in the top corner to win a championship for Gidoor, Stephen. Something that you can always look back on with great pride.
It's always going to be good to look back on that, Brendan. It's a long time ago now. I was sitting watching the boys in Division 18. I was chomping at the bit. I'd love to have been on the park and watching that Gidoor team go all the way to Ulster. You just, you know, you crave. And I don't think, when we were playing, Brendan, that game especially, we were on then. I think we played Cross. And we actually took the lead against Cross up Aberfay. You know what? It didn't mean as much then. It meant county final, won it, that was it. I think now there's a bigger picture that Donegal's so strong that we can go on and challenge Ulster, any team that comes out of Donegal. But no, that day was memorable. For me, for the club, to go on and win another one, you know. One and one's great. Two is very, very difficult. It's always good to get two. Three is very, very hard. I know you have a couple in the back pocket, Davey, but that day, Brendan, you were better than us. We just didn't play well. I think that's one that Unions threw away, my opinion. My goal probably got us, you know, really lifted us and got us right back at it. And I think it stunned you, because I think you were kind of cruising at that time. But it's one of those ones where a game's never over, you know, and a goal will always change a game. And Tony Blayton, you know yourself, me and Tony used to chain with Donegal. We'd be the last two at the back running. And I knew that Tony wasn't the biggest keeper to be. So I knew if I got her heading for that top corner, I didn't think he'd get it, you know.
Fair play, Guess. What a goal. Guess you've always had a huge passion for it. You know, the Gidoor's run there. Obviously, Kevin was playing. You're in the background there. You know, you're a busy man yourself. You've got the queen herself, Rosie, the kids. You're a businessman. What pulled you back in? I know Mervyn, obviously your brother-in-law as well. What pulled you back in? It's a big commitment to come back in this year, Stephen, in the backroom team.
You know what, Brendan? I kind of stayed away from the club, to be fair, because my family became more, you know, the most important thing. And bringing the kids up, and you know the time it takes to be down there and given two, three, four nights training. You know, now it's gone really. Hey, the club stuff is almost a little county stuff. I've been blown away this year with the Gidoor setup, how professional it is, with the stats guys that are involved now, and the nutrition guys, and all, Monday night there'll be a gym night, Tuesday night there'll be in the pitch, Wednesday a rehab night, Thursday training, maybe relax Friday, Saturday might do a bit of game plan, Sunday you're away. It really has gone full time. But you know what, I really, you know, I suppose the kids are kind of a wee bit older now, and I wasn't missing championship matches. When Mervyn got involved, I got a wee bit of taste for it. I was watching, you know, followed the lads everywhere, and I think the buzz in 2018, going to win Ulster, historic for Donegal, historic for us, really gave everybody in the parish a real fight for it again, and the passion was back, and the blood and the green and white. I followed them, and I wasn't in and around the camp. I was kind of helping Mervyn out with kind of logistical stuff with the teams and sorting out hotels and stuff for that team. Again, did the preparation for, you know, match days, for organising hotels and meal plans and getting them booked into places. So I kind of helped in that way. I think Mervyn this year had, was it 14 in the back room? It just goes to show you at club level, it's crazy stuff. But no, I really enjoyed it this year. But I opened my eyes. My God, it's a tough gig now, Davey.
Yeah. We didn't see the flag of war coming out. What did you do with that?
No, I had that ready for the year's body. You know what? I just thought maybe we'll keep it for a county final. I thought we'd get a county final this year, but don't worry, I've got another one for next year ready. But
Listen, that's all part of the game, you know, stir the pot, you know. Cass, it was a patchy season then from the Gador lads. You know, obviously the brilliance of 2 years ago where they were on such a run. Every line in the Gador pitch and the Gador team looked right for me, you know. They had the young players coming through. I'd watched their under-21s walk Ulster. And there's a real sense from a lot of us in Donegal, these boys are, who's going to stop them? I think last season they weren't as good as they were, but then this season, it's really kind of followed a bit of a downward trajectory in terms of, you've only seen patches of the brilliance that they have. And I know the big game obviously was Kilkerr. You went down there with a couple of injuries, you know, you tried McNeely's McGee full forward. Didn't start young Harkin in that case. There's a lot of kind of question marks about the team going in there. You thought there was a big performance in them. First half went fairly well. You had a good bench in, ready to come in. And it looks set that you could possibly won the tie, but everything went wrong second half.
I thought we played decent. I wouldn't say well, decent in the first half. You know, we competed well with Kilkerr. The goal probably flattered us a little bit. Kilkerr had a 3-point lead. We got it back to 3-1, and we got the goal. Listen, you know what? It was all stop-start this year. And I know every team went through the exact same thing with the COVID, but the past couple of weeks now, we've lost a lot of the boys back to Dublin teaching. It disrupted the camp a little bit. Oren's injury was massive, you know. We tried to get him back. I think he was probably 85-90%, which for me, you play. You're a good old man. You probably get on. You want to get out there. And Oren had put his hand up, says, I want to play. So we tried to kind of maybe stifle Kilkerr a little bit and throw McGee up to the link, man. Eamon's good in that position. Eamon's smart, you know, and maybe try and get a bit of height in there. But it's funny, the boys didn't get the ball in as much as we tried to get into them. The Gador team's a bit of a running machine, you know, Devine. It's probably what worked for them. And maybe it's time to kind of change it up a little bit. I would say probably the system Gador's played has been very, very strong the past couple of years. Devine, I kind of said to the lads, and no more than yourself, you'll probably sit down and think about this. Gador could be sitting in 3 in a row. They were beating Glenties by 6 points at half time in 17. They let it slip. I think if we got to the final that year, we'd have beat Kilkerr. I think we were too powerful, too strong for Kilkerr, too physical. Maybe I'm wrong, but then the following year we won one, and last year I think we kicked it away 3 times, did we? You know, a bit of indiscipline. We missed a penalty in extra time with a 3-point lead. All good and sane, but they're very hard to win. You've got to hand it to the likes of Kilkerr and Glenties. They dug deep in those other two and just won it. So to be, I think Mervyn's stepped down. 4 massive years on, massive achievement what he's done, you know.
It's not something that interests you, no?
Ah, Brendan, see, if you're down your door in the B&B, you can take my kids a couple of nights a week.
You dipped your toe on, that was enough. Listen, looking forward to the final now. What's your fancy? Who do you think's going to come out on top?
You know what? I've watched both teams, and I think that Glenties really surprised me against Unions. Unions are a very, very young side. Very young side. Very athletic, very fast, very inexperienced. And I thought Glenties would have went for them, and they didn't. They sat back. You know, we spoke about it, me and you, 3-3 at half time. Wasn't nice to watch. Come back to those ugly Donegal matches that people talk about. But listen, I think that Kilkerr won't let that happen. I think Kilkerr will come out and go at them. Kilkerr know how they attack. They're full of flair. I think Glenties should come and go toe to toe with them. I think if Glenties sit in, that Kilkerr team get power, pace, you know, they're very fast, they find those little pockets. So it'll be very interesting to be, but if I was having a flutter, I think Kilkerr's got a wee bit of fire on the belly. Very hard to do back-to-back to be. You said it about Trillick. Trillick were going for it. Nobody's done it to him for 15 years. Yous were probably the last team in Donegal to be, to do it up here, you know. Back in, was it 96, 97? I think he's done 3 in a row.
That's
very
right.
Hard to do, Brendan, you know, unless you've a really, really, really established team. And I think our team's got a bit of pace and a bit of power about them.
Yeah, I suppose you've got the two, I think, contrasting styles. I think Kilkerr break with such brilliant pace. It is 4 finals in a row. You have to hand it to Niamh Connell to keep going back to find. Obviously, Thompson's injury is massive. You know, he came on and was such a difference against Unions and obviously hitting that remarkable score. How he fares out is going to be huge, Cass. But I think, just looking from Kilkerr that night, you played them, the conditioning, Cass, was there a thing, did you feel in the second half, where their fitness, they looked so composed on the ball, they looked like they could run all day. Was that something you noticed from them?
Big time, Brendan. They surprised me. They really did. Now, listen, Kilkerr's a very good side. Very good side. They've shown it. Quality of them apart with the McHughes, McBertie's, McLean's. Lee Conor Dory really impressed me at 10. Brilliant wee player. finds pockets, gets on the ball, very hard on Mark. And I think he's really been, I think he's Kilkenny's best player all year. I know you're looking at Paddy with all the scores, and maybe Mark and Ryan getting man of the match performances. See, if you watch wee Conor Doherty, what he does, he really impressed me. And I found that, you know, people always say Kilkenny are slight, they don't have much height about the team, you know, a bit of physicality might overpower them. No, I found them very strong, I found them physical, but the fitness really blew me away. They would just never stop, Brendan. Tough conditions. At Donald Park, you know, when that heavy, heavy rain comes on, the surface gives a little bit. She's a cracking pitch on a dry day, but a wet day, she gets heavy. I'll tell you, those Kilkenny boys were flying all over, you know.
And listen, they only conceded 1-6, so you'd have to say their defence performed well in that game. And just looking forward to it, I suppose even we hope that everything goes. I mean, there obviously was a county panellist tested positive for COVID. The rest of the lads were getting tested. There's different things, rumours out there, and that, so we just hope that, number one, Donegal's season can go ahead, that this is an isolated case, but also there's no effect to your club championship, that the game goes ahead next week. We hope that happens very much so. And if it does go to stage 3 lockdown, there's a lot of sporting activities cancelled, but the GAA, even the club GAA, is in the elite bracket, so that can go ahead without supporters, unfortunately. And so we're hoping this final goes ahead, Stephen. But listen, in the intermediate, you'll be supporting your old club, Clonmacnoise, against Éire, I take it?
I will be, yeah. A wee bit of a mixed bag there. As you know, I work out of Ballyshannon. And
we've got to be careful what we say here. There's always somebody we can offend, Stephen. I know when you moved back from Glasgow first, you know, fair play, you took up Gaelic very quickly. The Clonmacnoise boys were mad looking for you, but you ended up obviously playing in with Gador, so that's a wee bit of history that you have in the background.
I have. I actually played an under-12 championship for Clonmacnoise. Didn't know how to pick a Gaelic ball up. So I said, Kelly, God rest him, took me down and said, listen, you're going to play a bit of Gaelic for us. And I didn't know what it was, Divi. Back then, I hadn't a clue. I came home from Glasgow at 10 years of age playing soccer. And we all weren't happy because I was living in the parish here. We all fought for it. And eventually, I had to play for the parish I was living in. So I know a lot of the Clonmacnoise boys. The young Kevin Mulhern there, good young lad in Gador, his wee business in the town here. And I'm always chatting with Kevin. I actually wish him good luck the last day. So you'd like to see it stay local, big guy. And the North West, we've been pushing for it, you know. For years and years, we've kept being kind of, we were the barn boys down this part of the country, so I'd like to see Clonmacnoise get over the line, you know.
Great stuff, Kevin. Watch it now.
Watch it now.
I was joking with Oshie before that about yourself and Kevin. I used to always be messing, introducing you as Kevin Cassidy's brother, which you really don't like. So there's a wee dig back from me, Steve. Dave, just in the juniors there, Downing's defeated Mavell. It was to be expected. Downing's gone down from intermediate last year. Star forward Logan Corner didn't start the game. He came on and managed to kick a point, as you would expect him to do. The McGrady boys were to the fore, doing the damage on the game. Keelan with 1-1, and there was 5 points kicked by man of the match, Johnny. So, listen, Downing's through the final. The Convoy LK Gales game was postponed, so we're waiting just to see who Downing's play in that junior final. So that wraps up the football today. Stephen Cass, then, you're in a word then, you're going for the men from Townie?
Yeah, I'm going to go for the Kilkenny boys. I just think that, again, you said it, Bryn, what Niamh Connell of Plenty's have achieved is 4 finals in a row. Unbelievable for a player, you know, it's mighty stuff. And then being champions trying to get back to back, it'll be tough. I think Kilkenny by maybe 3 or 4.
Ah, good man. Thanks very much, Stephen. Appreciate it. And I'll speak to you soon. Right now on the show, I'm delighted to say I'm joined by, for me, the greatest hurler of all time, a man who could light up any game. It is, of course, Young Ireland and Kilkenny star DJ Carey.
How are you, Brendan?
The man from Goran.
That's right, Goran.
Goran, yeah. Listen, I knew I was going to get that wrong. I was looking at it last night. It says, Goran. DJ, listen, yeah. Thanks so much for joining us, DJ. Listen, 10 Leinster titles, you know, 4 National Hurling Leagues, 5 All-Irelands, 9 All-Stars. I mean, DJ, what a career you had. As I say, DJ, for a young man growing up, you know, my mum actually was at National School with Brendan Linsky. I know we're up in Donegal here, but hurling would have been big in our house. You know, my first 5 times at Croke Park was all Galway hurling finals. My sisters all played Camogie with Donegal. And there's a wee film of a wee man by the name of Colin Grant used to take me down to play with Bert underage. So I've always had a big love of hurling through the family. No more than yourself, DJ. You came from a huge family. and hurling, and your sister played camogie and hockey with Ireland. Your great uncle was a fantastic hurler as well. So there was only one thing going to happen, DJ Kerry, and he was going to have a stick and a ball in his hand.
Yeah, Brendan, I suppose I came from a kind of an area, would you believe, that during the up to about 1956, obviously before our time, but up to now was all cricket. It was a cricket area. And anyone that played hurling in our area kind of went to neighbouring parishes that played. And I think in 1956-57, Young Ireland's Gorn, that's my where I come from, or the Gorn Parish, decided to have their own team and formed Young Ireland's Club. So hurling became reasonably strong. But with no real serious tradition in the parish or in the club. We had one or two players that played with Kilkenny over time, but they were playing with different clubs. We happened to, whenever we went to school in mid-1970s, it just happened that there was 25 boys maybe in each of the classes going in, and we all hurled and all played hurling, and that team then came up along. And there's a little bit of tradition in my family. My aunt Peggy won the first four All-Ireland Camogie titles that Kilkenny won. She was on the team, and then a granduncle of mine, Paddy Phelan, was on the team of the century. So there was a little bit of tradition in my household, but not much of a tradition, let's say, in the parish.
Yeah, and college in St Kieran's, was that the Was that a big side of your evolution as a hurler?
Yeah, it would have been. That was kind of the ambition, I think, for many years to go to. And my next door neighbour, or our next door neighbour, was a man called Father Tommy Marr, who was a great Kilkenny coach of the 60s and 70s, and he happened to be the president of St Kieran's College. So there was only one place I was going to be going to, and that was Kieran's College, yeah.
And is it even from an underage perspective, were you kind of the go-to guy at that stage, or did you come a wee bit later in terms of evolving into a man and into the dangerous player you were going to become?
I suppose I would have been known as kind of a player coming up along, Brendan. You know, but I was very small now. I was like, people wouldn't think I'm big now, but you know, I turned out. When I was playing minor with Kilkenny, I was about 5'5" or 5'6". Like, I ended up being 5'11", almost, 6 foot, which people wouldn't realise. I would have been very small, but I would have been quite quick. So if I got the ball, I was quite quick with it. But up along, kind of had a reputation. I played under 14, 16 with Kilkenny all the way up along. In actual fact, my first choice of playing for Kilkenny, I had a choice of playing hurling or football with Kilkenny, and I followed, I was a great follower of the Kerry team of the late 70s and early 80s, and that influenced me, would you believe, to play football with Kilkenny.
Yes, yes. And listen, when was your first All-Ireland? Was it round our own 92? Was that in the round your...
Yeah, I played in the 91 All-Ireland final against Tipperary. We were beaten that day, and then we came back and we won the 92 and 93 All-Ireland titles. So we would have been on holidays with the Donegal lads one of the years in Tenerife for the Canaries there, yeah.
Very good. I've heard some great stories from those trips. DJ, was there something about you coming in as a goalkeeper at the start to the Kilkenny setup?
Yeah, I which is totally different than nowadays, Brendan. When I was 15, I started playing on goal for our own intermediate team in Gorn. That's what the senior team in the parish was. We were intermediate, and I started playing in goal. So I spent 3 years in goal for the Young Ireland's Gorn intermediate team. And then, as I say, I was quite small. So from the minor team of 1988, Kilkenny, Dermot Healy brought me in on the Kilkenny senior panel. And I played two or three games in goal for that national league.
That just seems unbelievable. I can't get my head around that. So the early 90s, DJ, in terms of your career, were when the All Irelands came, glory days. But DJ, just looking at the spark that you were in the pitch, you were a player that were, don't want to put this in and out of games, but in terms of when you got the ball, something happened. You seemed to just come at the right time whenever Kilkenny needed that lift. Did you feel always supremely confident inside? Because looking at you, it looked like anything was possible when you got the ball.
I suppose my attitude kind of, Brendan, was, you know, if a ball goes in past the 45-yard line, it's always a goal chance. You know, it's always... I think the first option or the first thought I would have always had, and I'd try and encourage it as much as possible, the first option should be goal. And you don't always take that, and it's, you know, it doesn't always work out that way. But if there's any sort of a, you get in behind your man and you're gone, that should immediately create some sort of an overlap. And, you know, there should be a chance. So I suppose I got a little bit of a reputation. I got one or two goals that were important, maybe close to the end of matches. And, you know, that gave a bit of a reputation. But that was my, I kind of, you know, I suppose even when I played the game, I probably, you know, created as many goals as scored, because, you know, the buzz of the ball going into the back of the net was just spectacular, as you'd know as a forward yourself.
Yeah, didn't happen enough for me, I think, DJ. Probably at the right times I could have done with your magic. DJ, tell me, in club level here, we lost a couple of finals. We went for three finals in a row, and I remember the pressure and anxiety was absolutely overwhelming. That's a club county level. It happened for you at the Kilkenny and All-Ireland level. What was that like? Was Cody in the mix at this stage?
Yeah, Cody was in the mix. We were kind of starved a little bit. We won the All-Ireland, well, I wasn't part of it, in 1983, and Kilkenny didn't win another All-Ireland until 1992, which is a long time in Kilkenny. But then we won in 92 and 93. Then there was a bit of a barren spell. So we got to the 98 final. We were beaten by Offaly, whom we had beaten in the Leinster final. Then we got to the 99 final, and, you know, with 9 minutes to go, 10 minutes to go in that game, very, very miserable wet day, we were 4 points up and lost the game. Cork scored 5 points. We didn't score for the last 10 minutes, so that was disappointing. So in 2000 then, we were going for, obviously we were trying to win it, but, you know, it wasn't something, that, it wasn't the record that you wanted, that we were going for three All-Irelands defeats in a row. Now, I'm not sure, Brendan, that we really, like it, I think it's more of a build-up of that comes in the media, or it's more of a build-up that comes around you rather than actually the players themselves. The players themselves, you know, wanted to win in All-Ireland, and we were in the next one. We were lucky to be in, well, we weren't lucky because we played well, but what I'm saying is you're very fortunate to be able to get to play in three All-Irelands in a row, and you don't want to lose them, obviously. But the way we looked at it is, you know, we wanted to win this one. But I never bought into it. Anyone that says we definitely weren't going to lose this one, we were so determined. I think you always go out determined. You always go out to win the match that you're playing. And, you know, you do stick your neck on the line. You do stick a leg in. You do stick a hurl. You do stick a hand in, always. And, you know, you need that little bit of luck along the way to, you know, and in the 2000 All-Ireland, a long ball was delivered in from, I don't know who it was on our team, and the Offaly cornerback went up the catcher and missed it, and I happened to be on the run at full pace coming in, and it just absolutely just bounced straight into my hand, you know, in the first minute or two of the game, and I was clean through, and we got a goal, and that was a great start for us. And then I think we got three goals within the first 10 or 15 minutes of that game, so that was huge relief on that day. And even though, well, there was maybe 9 or 10 points in the game, like, you got to remember, we had three goals got in the first 10 minutes, so it wasn't that huge a win in terms of, like, after the 10 minutes, it was even enough.
Yeah, interesting. And a word on Cody. You know, us down here in Donegal, we're fascinated by this guy. I've seen some bits and pieces coming out of him giving talks. You know, you have images of him on the line there, berating the ref, those big red cheeks about to explode. He would put anybody under pressure. And when he came in, yourself, Charlie Carter, I remember a story. Is he a relation of yours, DJ?
No, he would have been the same club as
same
mine.
Club, right. And I'm just, the way, like, Cody just, I suppose, set the table. You know, did he ask Carter, and there was this thing of laying down the law, and it was Cody's way. He just seemed to raise the bar in terms of preparation and how you were going to acquit yourself.
Yeah, well, I suppose, Brendan, to be overly fair on that one, Charlie wasn't picked to play on, let's say, the team, so Charlie actually retired. He left the panel himself, and I think the impression always was given was that Charlie was dropped off the panel. He wasn't dropped off the panel per se, but obviously, you know, he was my own club man, and he had been hurling very well, and you know, it's a tough one. It's not an easy one. But then I'm part of the Kilkenny management now, and you know, like, you know, from an outside point of view, people will think, well, Kilkenny are struggling. They don't have the big names. They don't have. We have a lot of very good hurlers, you know, and to actually try and pick a 15 will be very difficult. To try and pick a 26 will be very difficult. You know, it's not an easy job to do. And sometimes a manager comes in and he has a particular type of player that he would want to see playing, and then another manager will look at it completely differently, you know. So I suppose Brian came in on the scene, and we were beaten in 99. We won All-Ireland in 2000, and we were very strong again in 2001, but Galway in a physical battle beat us. Not physical. When I say physical, I mean hurling hard. You know, there was nothing dirty or anything about it. But and then I think from then on, Brian decided that, you know, maybe three or four of us had niggly injuries going into the game on that occasion, and you know, that we didn't perform. So I think Brian came back in 2002, and that was it. There was going to be no players would ever go on the field again half injured or half fit. And that, you know, if you weren't able to train, you weren't able to track, that was okay. You weren't going to be going on. And if you weren't physically up to it, that was it. And I think from then on, and that had nothing to do with, let's say, Charlie being dropped or anything like that. What that had to do with was, you know, his particular stamp was coming in on the thing. And as I say, if you were injured, you were injured. You weren't going to be playing.
Yeah, certainly organised all that. DJ, you captained your county as well, doing All Ireland. Proud stuff.
Yeah, that was very proud. I suppose I was very fortunate, Brendan. I was coming to the very end of my life. That was, you know, I was 33. I suppose most players would be finished at 33, but I was. You know, getting there, I was almost 34 actually when we won the county championship, and it's a county champions had the captaincy. So that was in 2003. Now I had captain Kilkenny in 97 as well. We won the county title in 96, and I captained it another year where one of the club champions hadn't a player on the team. So those were unsuccessful. So obviously the pinnacle of anyone's career is to captain their county to an All-Ireland. It won't always work out for players in Kilkenny because your club needs to win it. But I was very fortunate, yeah.
Yeah, Daisy, your disciplinary record, I know you definitely didn't see a red. Yellow, were you ever booked in your time playing with Kilkenny?
No, I was never booked either. but now, again, Brendan, I go back to it. I'd clarify that. And I definitely didn't go out to be dirty. I didn't go out to play. I always felt that the ball was my enemy. And if a fellow was, you know, not that nice on me, you know, like the best way of punishing him was to bury one in the back of the net or put a few scores over the bar, whatever. But I definitely think the way the game has gone, you know, it's very hard to survive now at booking because, you know, a couple of tugs of a jersey and you're booked, or, you know, you go in and you make a genuine tackle, but maybe slightly late, you know, you're booked. And, you know, I think it's much easier. I think the players nowadays, Brendan, are fitter, way fitter than us. They're way stronger than us. They're maybe even braver than what we are. But the game itself, the GAA has brought in the game, has gone very, very soft. And I find that disappointing. I follow football as well, you know, and like, I think in some ways, like the hardness of the game, I believe dirty should be punished. Absolutely should be punished. But I believe the games are gone in such a way now that it's gone soft. Like, a great skill in the game of old was a flick. You know, a fella rising a ball, a flick. Nowadays, even a hand pass. I was a handballer, Brendan. If I hand passed a ball and a fella went in to block me of old, or anyone of old, well, you know what? You were striking the ball with your hand, and unless it was a dirty tackle. Nowadays, there's guys going around and they're rubbing their hand, they're getting a free in it, the opposition fellas get booked, even though that player himself has hand-passed the ball. Yeah. So he's used it as his hurl.
Yeah.
You know, you see nowadays, you see fellas getting a little touch on the face guard or a little touch on the helmet, and they're going around falling around the place because it's a bookable or sending off offence, even though there is very little or anything has happened. Do you know what I mean? And I find that, I just find it frustrating. And the other thing I find really, really frustrating as a rule, and most people won't agree with me, is the advantage rule. Mm. And my belief is that if you're fouled and you have the advantage, that's great. The referee will give you the advantage, and if you get away, brilliant. Then you'll play a pass to a guy who's 10 yards away. He'll hit it and it'll go wide. And the ball is brought back for a free. Mm. To me, that's absolutely frustrating because you've got your advantage. You've made the pass. You've got away with it. But yet 5, 6, 7 seconds later on, the play is brought back. And I disagree with that entirely.
Yeah, yeah. Listen, the refs better watch out. Never mind Cody. DJ Kerry's going to be on it as well. You're going to be trouble there. DJ, just wondering, you were obviously such an inspirational figure, but who inspired you? I think I've seen somewhere you talked about John Power, and I have this brilliant memory of All-Ireland final day, and Power's out in the wellies and the Beals, and they're interviewing. It stuck with me so much. It was so Irish, but great guys. It was in the dressing room along with you. Who was your go-to guys for that inspiration?
John and I were very friendly, you know, but like we had Pat Dwyer, very different characters, and you know, Brendan, like, you know, it's so funny, but like, you know, like when you compare everything to nowadays, and it's everything is timed down to a T, as the time you leave to go to a match, the timing of the warm up, the time of everything. I mean, we drove to Croke Park, and we drove in our own cars to Croke Park, and we drove in under the stand to Croke Park. You took the gear out of the bag, and you went in, and you togged out, and you went on the field, and you played. You know, imagine that happened nowadays. How many people would actually believe that? You know, some lads actually would have the odd fag. Whoever was smoking had the fag in the dress. Do you know what I mean? Like, it was so naive, like, going to games, you know, and like, some fellas couldn't eat the day of a game. More fellas couldn't get enough food before a game. Now it's all down to a T. Everything is so down to a T. But like the John Power, Pat O'Neill was the two O'Connors, Willie and Eddie O'Connor, they were great characters. Then you had some lads like, you know, some lads were, I won't name them now, but some lads were ferocious, lazy, you know, and good hurlers, yeah. But really, really lazy. I mean, one lad, you know, on our team, he wouldn't do a lap of the field. He was that lazy. But yes, he was a brilliant, brilliant hurler. Yeah. You know, and he always had the excuse. And, you know, Ollie Welsh maybe was the manager. Ah, Ollie, the leg is sore tonight. And he'd get away with it. You know, but he'd perform on the day. But imagine that nowadays. No one would get away with that sort of thing nowadays, you know?
No. And tell me, DJ, you obviously were huge in the business. You had a massive catering supplies, hygiene supplies. You had, I think, about 36-odd staff. You know, before that big crash, did you apply the same things to your sport that you did to your business? Then you did see you on TV giving advice and all a few times. You looked like you had a great head for figuring out how things worked.
I tried to, but obviously it didn't awfully work out for myself. But I suppose you see mistakes that are in things as well, Brendan. And
give Noel Higgity a job, which is
Noel used to it as well. I tell you one thing, it was a long way up there to North Donegal with a delivery coming from Kilkenny, so I kicked a bit of football out there with him a couple of times when I was up. So you were out in harsh land out there, I can tell you. But you know, it was a great time. I suppose, you know, I had a number of businesses that actually, you know, I had one big company that, you know, went broke, owned me €250,000, and
yeah.
You know, that's very hard to sustain in itself. But I tried to put whatever I had on the field into, you know, business or anything else or any advice I would try and give. But I kind of probably would have always felt in my own self, Brendan, I was good to picture stuff. You know, I was very good mathematically. I was not good at the likes of languages and things like that. But mathematically, or figuring stuff out, or looking at you know, even I suppose on the field or off the field at the moment, look, judging things. That's where my forte kind of was, rather than like reading books or things like that. You know.
Yeah, Brendan, the reason I said about the GA thing is because you coach Kilkenny minor footballs. We're a wee bit short in time just here, DJ. I'd love to talk to you all day, but you coached Kilkenny minor footballers and inspired them. There's a great story of you playing a championship, minor championship game, and you spoke to your own crew and then you went to speak to the opposition team after the match, and I thought, we've lost a lot of lad in GA with sledging and nonsense and teams. You know, it's GA, it's Irish, sure, play the game on the pitch as you said, cut out the dirty stuff, but let's, you know, be sporting, and that's the best team win. You know, I think, DJ, there's a lot of that lost. When I hear stories about you just rising above the whole nonsense in the game, it just does your heart good.
Yeah, I don't understand it. I don't get it. I don't get this legend. I like in my day, you know, you might have, some lad might have hit you a bad clatter and he got sent off, or he got, and someone else had come in and said, oh, you got him. But that was the worst of it. Do you know what I mean? There was no mother, father brought into it. There's no girlfriend. There was no this thing. And I would say, and I wouldn't mind ever if this ever went out even on a national level. Like, this thing of sledging says an awful lot about you and your family. That you have to go up to a fella and you have to sledge him, and this is the way of you intimidating. And then, Brendan, what I always found was, because it didn't happen, but what I find is you have a fella then pleading complete innocence as to he done nothing at all. And I actually think, you know what, that tells more about your dishonesty. And if I was looking at you in an everyday life, I would think that's a very dishonest guy, because he's coming out there to try and intimidate. And then, you know, the worst case scenario then, or the worst of it all then is, you know, he's actually pleading innocence when it comes to a booking or sending off, you know. And I think it's a horrible trait. It's not a nice trait. And I would encourage anyone that's coming up, put your head down and hurl, because and play football or play sport. Forget this sledge and forget this bull that goes on with it, because it's not nice. And that sort of thing says enough about a lot about you and your family if you're intimidated enough to be able to go out and do that, or go out and do that.
Listen, totally agree, DJ. And listen, we need to listen to people like DJ Carey. This is having a big, it's a big stain in our game. It needs to be addressed. Not enough people are addressing. DJ, very well put there. Just say, I met you a couple of years ago down at Crow Park at a meal. I went up to say hello and I was actually tentative. I thought you would have just, who you, Donegal, and brushed past me. You didn't at all. Myself and yourself sat idle away for about half an hour and a great chat, and I was just blown away by your humility and your openness, and you give me your business card and says, anytime you need something, give me a call. And that's what I did last week. And I knew before I rang, you would say, no problem, Brendan, as you did. DJ, an absolute pleasure to talk to you. Thanks for joining us this evening on DL Debate. All the best for the season ahead as well.
Lovely, Brendan. Lovely to talk to you, and best of luck to everyone.
It was a huge weekend in hurling action in Donegal, and we're down to two in the senior and in the junior. History beckons for Dunloe. Isn't it brilliant to see, after years of underage work at Dunloe, their men's team earn a final with Cairn Donna. And in the seniors, all conquering Setanta are waiting now on St Eunan's. And I'm joined on the line by a man who knows a thing or two about winning the senior hurling title. It is Setanta's Paul Campbell. How are you, sir?
Not so bad, Brendan. Yourself now? Great weekend of hurling, all right. I know, fantastic. No games for 2 or 3 months, and then 4 in the 1 weekend. It was brilliant.
Yeah, great to see. And great conditions too, of course, Paul, which is one of them things that just changes everything about the experience of fans, some supporters able to get in again. And there's some noisy ones in there, I'd have to say. You've still got the passion for it yourself, eh, looking at you in O'Donnell Park there on Saturday.
Very well. We always had the noisy fans up here, and I'll tell you, the noise factor always goes up high whenever the referee makes a mistake. I don't want a team to be hard on the referees now, and all referees make mistakes, and they've done great jobs on Saturday and yesterday now. But look, you know yourself, the heat of the moment, you're thereabouts many times, sir. They'll bloodily get up high, and it's hardly controlled.
Oh, listen, it's all part of the game. If you take that out of it, what have we got? You know, you want to have a bit of passion in there. Paul, I was just thinking, I spoke to you at the start of the championship. You know, you ran through all the teams, and you talked about Buncrana coming and St Eunan's coming. You know, Setanta were still the favourites. They still looked the most accomplished with, of course, that unbelievable forward line that they have. And as the championship went on, it just looked like it was Setanta. And particularly, it's funny reading into it, you know, whenever Buncrana beat St Eunan's in the group stage, you kind of thought, as you were saying, right, Buncrana are going to be the team, not St Eunan's, to put it up. Then, of course, Setanta were down, walloped Buncrana. So really thought at that point that, you know, Setanta were building up such a head of steam. Now, talking to Unions players about the game, they performed really badly that day and obviously brilliantly reversed that defeat to Buncrana, beating them well at the weekend. So now, Paul, do you think, you know, as much as we're leading into the final, that there is going to be a proper test of Setanta and that Unions can win this game?
Well, you're always in a chance in a two-horse game now, but I was just at that game yesterday, Brendan. I'd done the live stream there and that Buncrana St. Unions game now, and just before the game and the warm-up, PJ McCarron, who was, you know, one of Buncrana's main threats in the forward line, he went over an ankle, he couldn't start, and young Duffy got injured during the week, you know, and that was their two big threats in the forward line, and they lost to both of them. And as you've probably seen the score there yesterday, you know, Jack scored, I think it was 13 out of the 14 points, you know, because there was nobody else, which was a big kick, you know, a real serious blow to Buncrana before it. It would have been a real good game only for them, two injuries before it. Looking at St. Durin's yesterday, they've come on an awful lot from they have last year, even though they've lost sort of the two O'Donnells, which have been two very good players, and young Hartnett from there for last year. You know, the likes of young McIntyre's matured lovely as a cornerback, and you know, his man of the match say yesterday is the best bit of defending I've seen in the hurling pitch in years from anybody, barring maybe Mark Callan. And look, hey, it's going to be a good tight game. 10-15 minutes to go, there'll be no more, a point or two in it, and it's all, you know, whoever wants it most then. And look, it'll make for a real good final.
It'll be a good final. There'll be a bit of noise coming there, no doubt, on that day, Paul. Paul, just back to Unions there and Buncrana. Jack O'Loughlin, just seems an absolutely phenomenal player. Every time you see him, he seems to produce the goods. You know, how good is this guy?
I tried to remind the earlier on in the year, I said, look, he's probably the second best hurler in Donegal after, you know, Danny Cullen. Probably I'd rank Danny as number one yet. But Jack, his fitness levels are phenomenal. As stick work, you know, his stick ability and his passion and drive, you know, is unquestionable. And look, a real nice, modest fella too, you know. I was been involved with him, you know, through the county in one thing or like, and you know, if you tell Jack, you know, run up that mountain there, like, Jack will go, right here, what time do you want me to do then? You know, he's a real good attitude about him. And look, in a couple of years' time, you know, or maybe, you know, next year, if I'm trying to get their act together, get in with the first 15, you know, the full 15, you know, onto a semi-final, you know, they'll be thereabouts again. But now, that's not taken away from St. Julian's performance. Like, Sean McVay dominated for the first 15 there yesterday. He controlled the whole game. Everything went through him. You know, there was a couple of boys in the middle of the field there. They dominated the middle of the field. Jack Lockton, he was getting on top of their centre-half back, but you know, besides the centre half back with Jack Dunn and wee Sam Rowe doing when they're in the middle of the field, you don't have to answer for them everywhere else in the pitch.
And the goals, of course, first half, Conor O'Grady and Kevin Keeley, you know, yes, really put the hammer into Buncrana.
Kevin Keeley's goal was a fantastic goal. You know, Kevin, you know, real good hurler, you know, he's got the county training behind him as well, like, and you know, he made a goal out of nothing. He just broke a line, the thing opened up in front of him, and he struck into the far corner from 25 yards. Real good, you know, as a good forwards goal. The first goal I thought was a wee bit fortuitous, you know, but look, they were getting the ball into the danger area, and just before St. Julian's first goal, Jack O'Loughlin had a chance for a goal himself. You know, he flicked the ball, the ball bounced back past the full back, and he flicked the ball, and he just flicked it up over the crossbar. Had a hit, you know, 2 inches below, like, it was onto an empty net, but he was stretching, you know, and just wee fine margin to get, turns games, and, you know, it'll be the same whenever we get the final. You know, a small margin, I'll turn a one-pointer onto a three-pointer, and that can make big differences in big games, you know, so.
Yeah, certainly. Well, and I think there's five or six players from the defeated St. Unions football team involved, which is good to see that they get over the line in this game, and great to see that dual player as well, being able to play and operate in both championships. I think it's very important for the evolution of the game as we go forward with new teams and that coming in, Paul.
Yes, well, you'd see the fitness levels of the dual players, you know, you'd see young McIntyre and even Keeley and Park. Like, Conor Park, I'd say he must have run about 12k there. Yeah. That game, you know, he just up and like playing from corner back, and he was up and down the line. Every time there's a midfielder in the ball, like he was open playing from corner back, like he was just making them rubs, you know. And look, the difference, of, you know, where the football level gets, say, within the county, the hurling level gets within the county, you know, there is a difference there. There's about 15-20% of difference there, and, you know, you'll see it on them players. I was chatting to Conor McVeigh, Sean McVeigh's father, just before the game, you know, and they said, now they were broke up after that game there last week, the football game, you know, and he says, these boys are going to make up for it today. Like, he says they're in bad, bad form after the football. You know, they were saying they were robbed. You know, they got a couple of bad decisions against them and a bad goal. And he says, these boys are going to put manners in somebody. You know, so the blood was up on them. And whenever I was sitting, you know, listening to Cruiser saying that, like, I thought, look here, these Bungrana boys could be bothered whenever they lost two of their main forwards, so.
Yeah, yeah, and listen, suppose great, they're lucky to have that avenue to get it out of the system and switch to hurling and make a final, because big, big thing for St Union's. But your own men on Saturday put up, I suppose, Paul, listen, I was talking to you at the game and, you know, great conditions. And, you know, we had that feeling of championship, you know, Bird come out, obviously, up into the water break, they were in the game. But then after that, you just seen the class, the ability, the fitness. I was saying to you, the physicalness of Setanta, big, powerful team, you know, right across the lines. They've got players, they've got quality. They are, in terms of, you know, Donegal club football, they are like a complete team in terms of when they go about their business, you know, they're almost unstoppable at times.
Now, they did perform very well, you know, and the big players performed very well there. You know, as you say, like the likes of Michael Donoghue, big man in the middle of the field. Michael's what, 6'1", 6'2", and I think he came away with from play 1-2 or 1-3 from play in the middle of the field. You know, serious game. Danny Cullen done as... Danny hadn't, you know, he hadn't a great game on Saturday by Danny's standards, but Danny done 100%. You know, everything right. There wasn't a ball went past him, but, you know, you always expect more from Danny because he is the player he is. Then you'd like to have him standing up in the forward line. Who's going to, you know, I was looking John McIntyre there yesterday and I was going right here, this is going to be the pair, and they're either going to put Park on Davinson or McIntyre and Davinson. Whenever they put Willem and Davin, you've got Mark Devine to look at in the far corner, or Conor McGettigan, or, you know, Josh. You know, we have an awful lot of options in the forward line. We have a serious amount of, you know, then you've got Bernard Lafferty and Jerry Gilmore out in the half, and Declan Coulter out in the half forward line. You know, who's going to handle them if they're fit to handle their full forward line? They won't be fit to handle their half forward line, because, you know, you've just got six serious, you know, forwards that is going to be a nightmare for any back. And the midfield's going well. We have a wee bit of tweaking to do in the back line. Look, you know, the service on the forward line wasn't that good, wasn't what I'd expected, and our puck outs is just not going right at all. You know, we need to get a game plan for the puck outs. Big skyey balls, you know, are no good for you know, real good nippy forwards. So, look, I'm sure Gary and the backroom team will be working that just over the week.
Yeah, yeah, always stuff to be done then. I mean, Bert, of course, there's a lot of work to be done to get Bert back up to speed again. Joe Boyle tried his best on at sweeper there. Obviously, Mickey McCann actually starting goals, the Donegal team manager, after an injury to Burns. He ruled him out. But really, you know, just a word on Davin Flynn's goal. You know, it doesn't matter who's marking people. If you can put the ball in the net from an impossible angle, very hard to stop. And that goal, I think, was really the killer goal. But what a finish. A remarkable, remarkable goal there on Saturday, Paul.
It was remarkable. Like, I thought, look, he was going to pop this over. Well, first of all, I thought he wasn't going to get to the ball because the ball was played in. He was in behind the man. And I don't know where it was. The Bortman slowed down or Davin's just that fast. He got nipped in front of him. So he just rounded him down the line. And you're sort of going, like, any, you know, 90% of forwards would be happy to, you know, lob that over the bar. He went for the throat. Like, Mickey McCann didn't even see it. Yeah. You know, the slutter hit the far net before Mickey lifted the stick.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and that you know, that's the way it was. And look, Setanta pushed on from that all right, and I think we went 19 points up. you know, and then they took the foot of the pedal, and Burt will always do what Burt will do. They'll come back at you, and they made it a bit respectable now, but there was a far bigger gap than 10
there was
between the two teams there. Like,
definitely, Paul. Listen, Paul, I'm not going to ask you to call a winner. That would be unfair. What we're hoping for is may the best team win, and really looking forward to this game now, St. Junan's v. Setanta. Is it 2 weeks, is it?
Well, there's chat about it being played on Friday night.
Oh, it's right. They want to come ahead, pull it in.
They're looking at bringing just the COVID cases, one thing nor other.
Right,
and I just heard rumours there yesterday at the other semi final that they might be bringing the game forward Friday night.
Good man.
So, lucky, you know, and it's back for Sunday week.
Right.
But you could see it played this Friday night.
Great, Paul. Listen, it's there. I'll see you there, sir. And thanks for joining us on the DL debate. Appreciate that. Right, that's a wrap. Episode 30. Their shows are flying in. Thanks so much to my guests, Stephen Cassidy, Paul Campbell, and the great DJ Kerry there with some sound words of advice. Thanks to Kenneth for producing and keeping me right. I'll speak to you next week.
The DL Debate, presented by Brendan Devaney, in association with Sarah's Kitchen at Sister Sarah's Letterkenny, serving food you'll love. Book now to enjoy the Sarah's Experience.